Good morning, everybody. Who's having a great time? Who's getting a feel for this awesome community that we have here? Yes! So, you've already heard from me a few times. How many of you are now members of NEPT? Yay! Welcome! I'd just like you to feel into your heart and feel what's right for you right now. Feel what you're drawn to. And just see in your mind's eye what it would be like the next 2 years ahead if you join us. If you join in this amazing community. And you
get this stuff out of your way.
Engage. Just feel how your own health can be improved by that total engagement. And feel how many other lives you can touch. Friends, family, clients. Just see how many people you can reach out to with this amazing knowledge that you've had a taste of this weekend. And hasn't it been an awesome taste? You can really see the depth to which Dr. Rita Marie goes and the amount of work she puts in to helping us to really understand the root cause of these health problems. So, my last year has been a roller coaster ride, and my next year is going to be as well.
Some more space to do what we're going to do with that, so.
And I'd like you to be a part of that and to engage with my friend, my mentor, Rita Marie. So, I'd like you to stand up, take a deep breath, and welcome to the stage Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo.
Gotten a feel for his spirit, his essence. his topics are like that too, although I've never made them, but I hear great things. Nancy's been there a lot.
Hey, son, for your chocolate protein.
Ooh, yummy. I love this one. Doc David. Is he in the room?
Nope.
No, you have to be in the room. Seated. When you're not in the room, you miss out. Deborah Letchford. Have you ever had this Sun Warrior stuff? I love Sun Warrior stuff. I use it all the time. Sun Warrior Hormus Green. Yeah, they have probiotics in it. They've got the,
awesome.
The greens and all. Marisol.
Marisol.
I'll see you later. So, yeah.
And just a reminder to turn off all cell phones.
Of course. Turn on vibrate or something. Airplane mode. Yeah, so if you like the raffles, there's still more stuff out there, and the grand prizes will be coming. The break at after 2:30, 2:50. When we come back at 2:50 for our final segment, we're going to do the grand prize raffles, and you do need to be in the room to win. So we like to give people incentive to stay to the end, because the end is really powerful. We have a really powerful and ritual planned that you're going to love. And it's a big surprise. And then we have a surprise after that. A surprise that was supposed to come in Saturday, Friday night, but got rained out. Those of you who are staying can enjoy that surprise this afternoon. Excited. I'm excited about that one. And what else do we have? I think that's it. So who's been learning a lot? Yes? Going to take away some good stuff. Yeah? So who would like to, oh, I know, we're going to do this. Turn to someone next to you or behind you, as the case may be, and I want you to just share one or two aha moments that you've had over the course of this weekend so far. Things that you're like, wow, that's a really cool thing. I'm going to take that back and start to use it. So just chat a little bit with the person next to you. Raise your hand if you're alone. Oh, there you go. Who doesn't have somebody to chat with? Okay, join with me next to you. Let's do it together.
Thank you.
hug or a handshake or just a word. You already did it. Yeah, I saw that. We just have to wait because they're doing it. If you have not yet gotten a hug from Dr. Allison over here, it's an experience. So, yes, doesn't she? Yes, it's an experience. You know how people lining up for hugs? All right. So let's bring it back. Thank you for your enthusiastic sharing. It's fun to speak it, right? It's always, you may have all these thoughts in your head, but when you speak it out loud to another person, it becomes a reality, and sometimes it becomes a commitment, right? Okay, I'm going to do this. Whoops, I spoke that out loud. I told that person. And if you've spoken something that you are going to take away and do, exchange contact information with the person you shared with, and just hold each other accountable. Just a little text message. Text makes it so easy. A Facebook private post, something like that. To just say, hey, how'd you do with that thing, that morsel that you were going to try and taste and do? Accountability is so critical. It really is. It's very critical. So I would love to hear a couple of shares. So if you would like to share, just raise your hand. You guys are not a sharing audience. And just say your name and then what you share is.
I'm Katie Kapala. I'm a practicing physician in traditional medicine in Wilmington, Delaware. So to me, one of these aha moments was the microbiome and its connection to belly fat. I absolutely wasn't aware of this, that there could be any connection. So that was really kind of struck me as something that I've got to look into, and something that we just don't learn these things in med school or in practice. People don't even, these things never even come into discussions. So that was really a hard moment for me.
Awesome. So we may have some slender patients coming out. Some very happy patients writing you, oh my God, you cured my belly fat.
Hello, one of my ahas was the similarity between the anatomy of the blood-brain barrier and the intestinal wall, and this idea that leaky gut syndrome, which I've been learning can be caused by all that lovely bread that we're addicted to, could also be causing leaky brain. I mean, my God.
Yeah, I think that we never actually put those two pictures together. You know, you learn the brain histology and whatever. And then when you put them side by side, you go, ooh, it's uncannily similar, and then the tight junctions and all. And yeah, so when people say, well, I don't really care about the belly, you know, I just take the tongues and I'm okay. You go, well, what about your brain? Have you ever heard of Alzheimer's? Have you ever heard of Parkinson's? You know, those things begin decades before you get symptoms. And one thing I didn't mention yesterday was they're thinking now that one of the early symptoms of Parkinson's is not tremors, that happens later. Constipation. How many people do you work with that have constipation? Well, they just have those sluggish bowels, right? They have those sluggish bowels. Well, dopamine affects gut motility. Dopamine is the deficiency in Parkinson's. I always come up with these funny stories, but this just came to my head. My son was going through puberty, and he had these, nothing is important anymore, nothing means anything anymore, and I don't know what I want to do with my life, and all this stuff. And he sounds like he has a dopamine deficiency. So he comes home from school one day, and he goes, Mom, I think I have Parkinson's. And they're like, Bull, you're 13. What do you mean you think you have Parkinson's? Well, look at some of the symptoms. And it was apathy and lack of motivation. And I'm like, honey, I've been telling you for a long time, I think that, you know, with this puberty and all, it's affecting your dopamine levels. Maybe we can take some supplements and maybe, see, you already had a great diet. Maybe we can, you know, do some things to help your dopamine levels. And then you opened up and was like, because that's not a disease you want to get. And he swore he had Parkinson's. Then he calls me up just a year ago. Mom, I think I have type 1 diabetes. I'm like, okay, what? Well, I'm hungry all the time. And I'm really, really thirsty. And when I exercise really hard, my vision gets blurry. And I'm peeing a lot. Like, okay, those sound like the signs of diabetes. Tell me a little bit more. What are you doing? Well, I do an hour of CrossFit, and then I do an hour of kickboxing, and in the afternoon I run.
Oh
boy. And I'm like, honey, you're hungry and thirsty because you're exercising. So I said, I sent him a blood sugar meter. I said, well, just test your blood sugar. He didn't want to do it. And he came home and he's like, okay, you can do it. No. And finally let me do it. It was like 85. And he just, I think you're okay. The fun of living with a child whose mom is in jail. Anyway. Enough of that. We have so much to cover today because what we've learned the basics. We've learned how it works. We've learned how to assess it. Now we want to know what to do when we assess it, right? It's great to be a great diagnostician. You learn to do that in medical school really well, and you do differential diagnoses, and then you go, okay, which of these five prescription medications fits this patient best? And well, we have so many other options. And I want you to know that what we're sharing today is not protocols that you pick up and say, oh, you have reflux. Oh, and you have a leaky gut. Here's your protocol. It's basics that you can start with and work with each person. And when you're working with functional medicine, it's not here's the solution and it's just done. It's layers that appear, and it's trial and error with each person because we all have slightly different biochemistry, and we're actually working with the uniqueness, right? You say, well, this is an herb for Alzheimer's. This is an herb for ADHD. It doesn't work that way. So remember the this or that mentality. That's the first thing that has to go if you're going to be doing a functional approach. So we're going to work more on that today. But before we do, I just wanted to, first of all, I wanted to congratulate those who have decided to join us for the next year or two. And I know that a lot of you are kind of thinking through, well, can I do this? Can I afford this? And all this stuff. And I know a lot of you were in our conversation last night where we talked about what are your patients saying to you? Oh, I really love you and I want you to help me get well, but it's not the right time. It's like, really? How much longer do you want to stay depressed? How much longer do you want to stay overweight? How much longer do you want to stay in complete brain fog? So we talked about some ways. So I think that if you're on the fence and you're thinking, oh, I really want to do this, but I'm not sure if the time is right. I really want to do this, but I don't know if I can afford it. I would think through some of those things. When you step into the place where you're doing what you feel you're called to do, your clients are going to step into the place where they're called to work with you and do what they're called to do. So really, really think, and as Allison said, you've got to go with what your heart's telling you and don't let your brain talk you out of it. Where there's a will, there's a way. So if you're concerned about finances and can I afford this, go speak to Scott. There's some creative ways to finance things. He's back there. There's creative ways to do payment plans, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other thing I wanted to say was there was one thing I forgot to tell you that we have as part of the program, which is to me, like, it's my favorite part, is when we get together for our retreats. And we do a retreat once a year. So if you're in foundations, you get to do one retreat with us. If you're in the mastery or the practice accelerator, you get to do two. And those retreats are where we all come together in a small group and magic happens. Magic. magic happens. People are coming in with this, I don't know if I can do this, I don't know if I can handle this. And next thing you know, they have their whole program mapped out for them. And it's like, okay, Steph, we're Steph, she's in the room right now. How was that last year for you? She's like, I don't know what you're doing. Next thing you know, now she's got this whole like future sequence, everything mapped out. She stepped into her brilliance. It's a magical experience. So I just love it when we get together. Those of you who are in NEPT already, stand up, because I just want everybody to acknowledge you. And I also want to see who's here so I can remind you that tomorrow we have that little mastermind for our group, so we can just get together at my house and see Jan at the break, and she'll give you the directions if you don't have it, and my address if you don't have it. So I just want you to give a round of applause to these guys who have been working really diligently and have taken their commitment to their clients to the next level. So thank you very much. If you have any questions, concerns, you want to discuss, Jan, Allie, and Lynn will be available at the break, and they can chat with you. And where are you guys going to be? Okay. Well, you'll be in the back at the break. So just go to the back tables at the break. And those of you who have who are going to be joining us, join us for lunch. You join me for a private lunch at noon or whatever it is, 12:30 today. So you get to be, and we get to know each other. My commitment is I want to get to know each person. This is not like a 5,000 person group. I like to get to know each person and what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, what's everything going on for them. So, let's begin. Can we begin?
Yeah.
All right. So today we are going to talk about now what to do with all this information. And this is not medical advice, and this is not a substitute for medical advice, blah, 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 blah. Okay. For the record. And I just want to remind you of our mission. Our mission is totally possible. We're doing it already. We have several medical doctors in the room. I think we have 5 medical doctors in the room today, all weekend. And more today. Let's give a hand. Training, recognizing the limitations and knowing that they want to step forward and do something different, and realizing that there's a community here to help them do it. So I'm excited and thrilled. But just back to the whole the timing thing, if you're feeling like, oh, I want to do this, but I don't want to do it till next May or January or April, totally, here and now is where you can sign up and get those amazing bonuses that we have, the full pay bonuses, the Tom O'Brien gluten practitioner training, which he sells for $2,100, and Steph's practitioner training, which she's going to sell for $1,000, that you'll just get as part of coming in. For those of you already in, if you have asked me about that and said, well, is there any way we can get, you know, access to that, a discount or whatever, come and see Allie at the break, because she knows how to take care of that, and we do have a way for you to get access to that. So, so the timing, you can start whenever you start. You can get your hands in. You can kind of explore the website. If you're really busy, you're studying for exams, or you've got an event you're planning, then you can get in now, you know, start to connect with the community, and then really begin in earnest when you feel called to do that. We've had a lot of folks do that. In fact, we have somebody that's joined last year for this year. So really welcoming her to the community. She just said, I can't start until January 2016, but she was at last year. She goes, well, I want to get all whatever you're offering, the bonuses, the price break, et cetera. She started, she paid, and then she's not going to start us with us until January. So before we start, I want you to take a moment to let's do a heart math and really focus on that vision you have for you. Remember the big why that we want our clients to get in touch with? I want you to get in touch with your big why that we had you connect with on Friday. You have to keep thinking back. It feels like a week ago. On Friday, and then just as you're breathing, full breaths, activating your vagus nerve and getting into parasympathetic mode, just see yourself stepping into that amazing vision.
feel it, taste it, smell it, hear it. Just feel into it. Allow yourself to drop and allow yourself to be in that healing place from a personal standpoint. And from a practitioner standpoint, that place of clarity and that place where you can hold the space for this person sitting across from you or across from you on the phone who needs you and who needs you to be in calm wizard mode brain so you can help them make sense of what's going on. And when you can stay in that mode, no matter how confusing or how overwhelming or how sad you feel for their plight, when you can stay with them with love and compassion, and in your wizard brain, and you can feel really deeply from that place, without the frazzle, without the confusion, and then they know that they're in the right place, because you're their point of strength. And even if you don't have all the answers, you're going to work with them to find those answers. And you're not giving up on them. You're not going to say, well, sorry, this is going to be with you for the rest of your life. There's nothing I can do. You're going to help them to the best of your ability to reach the best health they possibly can. And you'll be their partner. And they will love you and respect you and feel a deep sense of gratitude to you. And they'll want to send all their friends to you too. So take a couple more deep breaths and really bask in that feeling. And whatever it is you need to do to build that confidence, you have that ability. May not have all the tools and skills yet, but you have the ability. Because you're here, and you took time out of your busy life to be here because you care about them and you care about making an impact, the answers will come when you stay connected here. So when you're ready, let your hands drop and take a deep breath, and you can open your eyes and come back. And just bring that feeling. It feels good to be in that parasympathetic state for a while, doesn't it? Feels tingly and calm and peaceful and awesome. Thank you. This is one of my favorite tools. And if you can learn this and teach it to your clients, they're gonna open up and be able to do the things that you ask them to do. And you'll be able to explain the whys because you have the background. It's one thing to say, I need you to do this and stop eating this and that. And they go, well, why? Well, because it's bad for you. Or because it's good for you. And that, it may fly for some people, but when you're getting executives and scientists and people who have the mind that need to know, they're going to need to have you be able to explain a little bit. Not in necessarily the depth I teach you, but I teach you at a depth so that you build the understanding so then you can teach them in the way that they get, right? And you can teach this to a little kid as well as you can teach it to a nuclear physicist. And that's the part of connection. So we're going to be going over this more this afternoon. This is an implementation strategy. And this is just keep focused foundations. I can't. One of these days I'll get this right. So the foundations and then the hierarchy. You don't start up here just saying, oh, you have heart problems. Here's some hawthorn berry. Get off of your cholesterol medication. Take CoQ10. Here's some niacin. If you haven't addressed down below, you have to be doing it concurrently so that you're really getting to the heart of what's going on with them. And that's your toolbox. And today we're going to be exploring some more. Yesterday we explored the genetics, we explored the lab testing and all the things that you can do, the interviews. You've been exploring some of the yoga meditation type things. We're going to do essential oils, environment, and food and nutrients. And just a reminder, those things in your toolbox look uncannily similar to those things that affect epigenetics. Isn't that nice, right? So you can epigenetically modify even if they have the genetics. Like, I don't have good genetics, but I've been working at epigenetic modification even when I didn't know what it was called. I just intuitively knew. And now I know and I can label it. So let's start with nourishing the gut-brain axis. So what we're going to do is we're going to get through a lot of the nourishing, a lot of herbs, and we're going to talk about foods this morning. Then we're going to have a demo, a really special demo. And we're going to talk about, you know, that's application. And then we're going to have a break, and then Artemis is going to talk to us about essential oils and five energy and elements and emotions and how they relate to these various places. Then we're going to have lunch. And then Donna Kosuska, who unfortunately had some personal things happen and all the weather craziness happened. So she's going to be Skyped in, webinared in. So she'll be up there teaching us. We'll get to see her. We'll get to see all her slides. You'll have her slides on your digital. And she's going to talk about the environment and how you can protect your microbiome from these environmental toxins. It's really cool. Technology is awesome, isn't it? And even the live stream, you'll be live streamed through live stream. Like, whoa, is that like, it's like those vortexes of you looking at the mirror and the mirror and the mirror? That's what you guys on the live stream get to see. It's really cool. And then after that, we'll have a break. After that break, we have our grand prize drawing raffle. And I just wanted to get a count. As of yesterday, we had generated $1,000 for our charity, which is Just Like My Child. If you still want to get raffle tickets, if you haven't, you can go back and see Justin. If you want to do a credit card, he's in the back over there, or Allie, she'll take cash, and Justin will take cash if Allie's not around. So if you haven't done that, is that still the number? It's higher. Well over $1,000. So we're going to put a bunch of kids through school, a bunch of these kids who wouldn't have that opportunity otherwise, which is awesome. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so we're going to talk about nourishing the gut-brain axis. And while all the nutrients are important, and we want the digestion intact so we get all those nutrients in, there are specific nutrients that are especially important and we find deficient quite a lot of the time. So we have our B vitamins, and the B vitamins that I find to be most important for gut-brain stuff. Number one, B1, thiamine. And thiamine is really important for metabolism, cell metabolism, and it's really important for regenerating those cells that become damaged when you have leaky gut and when you have that blunting of the villi. The villi look like this, and they're a nice little shag carpet, and then the gluten comes along year after year, and it goes like this, and the environmental toxins, and the next thing you know, it's like this. You're not able to digest. Look at all that absorptive surface that gets lost. The thiamine really helps to plump that back up along with some other nutrients, so I always include that as part of the thing. And really, if most of your clients are coming in or some of them on the standard American diet and they're eating a lot of the processed foods, the B vitamins are just like stripped away. They're gone. Niacin's another one that's important. Niacin's a vasodilator, and it helps to bring good circulation to tissues. Pantothenic acid is important, vitamin B5, and it's important because it supports adrenal function. And many of your clients are going to come in and they're completely adrenally fatigued. And vitamin B5 is also, it's a cofactor for the production of acetyl-CoA. And we talked about that the other day, where phosphatidylcholine is a precursor to acetyl-CoA. And that's important for memory. So it's really, the vitamin B5 is important there. Vitamin B6 is uber important for the brain. It is actually the catalyst, the cofactor that helps us take the amino acids and turn them into those neurochemicals that we need. So super, super important. And both B12 and folate are important in those methylation pathways we looked at yesterday, those really complex pathways that help with cell regeneration and DNA repair, but also they're important for the maturation of red blood cells. And if the red blood cells don't have the B12 and the folate, they get too big because they start out really big and then they get smaller, so they stay really big. And you can see that on that test we showed yesterday, the CBC, the complete blood chemistry, in the MCV, mean corpuscular volume. And if that's large, that you suspect that there's a B12 or folate or both deficiency. Vitamin C, just super important as an anti-inflammatory. It's important for gut repair. It's also important for the production of stomach acid. It's one of those things that go in making stomach acid. Quercetin is a bioflavonoid, and bioflavonoids usually come packaged with vitamin C in various natural foods. Quercetin is very high in onions, yellow onions, and it's an amazing antihistamine, which breaks down histamine, which, you know what histamines are, right? Antihistamine medications, we've all heard of them, been taking them probably since we were this high. Every time you had a sniffle, you got an antihistamine medication. Well, histamine is important because it's part of the immune system to fight off those invaders. When we shut down the histamine, not naturally, but artificially, we're thwarting the body's natural immune function. Whereas quercetin is one of the more gentle, it does break down the histamines after they're used up. Because a lot of times what happens in the body, the inflammation happens because we need it. We need to bring blood supply to an area. The problem is the body's so out of whack, it doesn't break it down. It doesn't stop making the inflammation when it's supposed to because it's not getting the signals. We don't have the right fatty acids. We don't have the B vitamins, the vitamin C, and all those other things. So the quercetin can be really important, especially if you're working with someone who, when they eat food, they get, like, their face gets red or their eyes start to run. They have a histamine reaction. You'll see if you go online, if you went to the low histamine foods, there's people that are avoiding foods that have histamines in them. Some foods have natural histamines in them. And we should be able to handle that. And some of the ways that we handle it is some of those genetic markers we talked about yesterday, or enzymes like DAO, for example, that helps to break down those histamines naturally. And if we have a genetic variation where we can't break that down, we may need to supplant ourselves and eat more foods that have the quercetin levels in them. So if you work with kids and you're working with those kids with the asthma and the, you know, the runny, constant runny noses, it's important to help them with, of course, getting off the food allergens, right? As we go back to the basics. But also, quercetin can be a good alternative to those antihistamines, and it's really good in helping the gut repair. Vitamin D, we talked about a lot, super important for all of the barrier membranes. Plus, you know, vitamin D deficiencies have been implicated in focus problems, in depression, in anxiety, in gut problems, and autoimmune problems. So super important to have those vitamin Ds. And there's some question about whether all the mucking around we're doing in the environment is affecting the way those UV rays come in, because the way we're supposed to make vitamin D is UV rays hit the skin, and this cholesterol-like molecule turns into vitamin D, then it gets absorbed, and then it gets converted in the liver and the kidneys. So there's a lot of places where you can have breakdown when there's a problem with vitamin D. It's not just you don't get enough, but it could be a problem in the liver or the kidneys where it's not converting it. So D is super, super important. Vitamin A can be very important for any mucous membrane in the body. So it can be important for building that up. And sometimes we'll put people on slightly higher doses than average of vitamin A in order to help them to repair. It's not a good idea to keep somebody on high dose vitamin A for a long time because it's a fat soluble. That's true of any fat solubles. D seems to be an exception. You don't want the blood levels to go too high, but it seems that it has a bigger range of flexibility. Whereas A, I have another funny story about somebody with vitamin A. Vitamin A can be good for these mucous membranes. So if somebody has a cold or a flu and you want to help them get over it quickly, it's also an antiviral, you can do high-dose vitamin A for 3 or 4 days. So I told somebody, I gave her a bottle of micellized vitamin A, and each drop had 5,000 IUs, which is about all the daily dose is. And I said to her, I wanted her to take 20 drops. I wanted her to take 20 drops every day for 3 to 5 days to let the symptoms go away. She calls me up on the second day. She goes, you only gave me one bottle of this stuff, and I'm out already. How can I do this for all those days? And I'm like, what do you mean? You told me to take 20 droppers full. So the importance of writing things down for people, because the words can be misinterpreted. Well, fortunately, it wasn't long enough for her to get liver damage. But imagine if this woman just went and got a bottle of vitamin A every day and was taking it, the kind of liver damage she could have. So the importance of talking to people. The minerals are super important. You need the minerals to help you make the HCl so you could digest the minerals. It's like this vicious cycle. People say, well, what if I just take, you know, the zinc, and won't that help me make more HCl? Well, it will, except your body can't break down that zinc and absorb it real well without the HCl. So we do things like bitters, we'll talk about later, to stimulate the HCl while we're taking the zinc. But if you just stimulate the HCl production, you can't without the zinc, but if you just take HCl, which a lot of folks do, without giving the body the raw materials it needs to make its own, then you're just dependent on taking it from outside. And again, like Steph pointed out with the biodiversity, and we just, when we take it from outside, we're human brains, conscious brains, trying to figure out what this amazing body needs and knows what it needs on this subconscious level. And so you want to just give what you need to give, but give whole foods that contain the whole plethora, so let the body figure out what it really needs. So yeah, I'm a big fan of giving these nutrients, and I'll give you some ideas of where I start with them later on, but the point is to try to get the body, find out why the body isn't making enough. What are those confounding factors? What are those root causes? And then go from there. Fatty acids, super important for anything inflammatory. And when in our program we have, you know, we go through over and over again, who's had that fatty acid cascade memorized? It's like, you can almost see it in your brain. It's like, because you've got to have the right fatty acids to make the inflammatory byproducts. You have to have it. Prostaglandins and leukotrienes and all these things, and then turning them off. We liken the fatty acids to the firemen who put the fire out, right? And all those lifestyle and diet factors and injuries and all are the fire, and we have to put it out. What happens when people take pharmaceuticals to control inflammation is you put the fire out and you kill the firefighters all at the same time, which means you become dependent on that external thing. So that's a great visual. We have a really great visual to explain to people. Do you want to just put the fire out and kill the firefighters, or do you want to put the fire out and strengthen the firefighters? That's what the fatty acids and some of these other nutrients do. And then finally, amino acids, which neurotransmitters, precursors, enzymes, structural, everything in the body start from the amino acids. So we need those amino acids. And if the stomach acid isn't working and the villi are blunted and the pancreas is exhausted, then nothing's coming in. So it's not that you need to eat a cow every day to get enough protein. You need to eat enough protein, and you need to rebuild the system so that it can handle that protein. And a lot of folks who need meat or animal flesh to have good function, and there are people like that. I work with people like that all the time. If they don't, they just don't get enough protein. It's not because there's not enough protein in the plants. It's because their system is depleted. So if someone chooses to follow a plant-based diet, which I've been doing for 31 years, I'm not at a loss of muscle tissue. My immune system's fine. My everything's fine. I can do it. But I've worked at keeping my gut clean. Those folks who want to do that but can't right now, you work on their gut. And those people who feel like they need animal protein, that's fine. You know, you have to give it to them, but clean animal protein. I would never eat animal protein at a hotel. Let me just tell you that. You have no idea. I mean, I don't eat it at all, but if I did, I certainly wouldn't go to a restaurant or a hotel unless they said it was organically grown and, you know, grass-fed and the whole bit, right? So that's, you know, the distinction. So the next thing we're going to do, who here has heard of the four R's? The four R's, yeah. So the 4R program is something that, I mean, I learned 20, 25 years ago. Jeffrey Bland, I think, was the first person who started to talk about it. He's a PhD biochemist, amazing, you know, forefather of functional medicine, founded the Institute of Functional Medicine. But this 4R concept's very simple, and it's easy to remember. When you're helping somebody to heal their gut, there's four R's that you want to remember. The first one is remove. You want to remove all the toxic foods, the chemicals, and the organisms that are hanging out. Sometimes you have to do them in a slightly different order. So what are some of these foods and things we talked about? And some of these are controversial, and I'm going to just hit the controversy. I'm just going to share my opinion, and you can think of me however you want. But alcohol. A lot of people say, well, but I heard all those red wine studies, and I should be drinking a glass of red wine every day. That you've got to look at foods as everything as a double-edged sword. So yeah, there's some amazing antioxidants in wine, but you can find those antioxidants in other foods. There's also things in the wine and the alcohol that damage the liver, that damage brain cells. So why don't we choose something that doesn't have as big a sword part on the one end? And yeah, if someone is healthy and they're well and they've restored gut function, having a glass of wine every now and then socially is not a big deal. But the people that come to see you are compromised. And if they don't want to let go, first of all, if they won't let go of their wine, I start to suspect there's some other issues, right? When somebody says, I can't, that's the one thing I can't let go of, I'm concerned of what? Alcoholism, right? They're addicted to this. And that can lead to lots of downstream problems. But the alcohol is pure sugar. It actually gets into you, it raises your blood glucose faster than eating pure sugar does. So first of all, it's bad for blood sugar maintenance. Who does it feed? Yeasts, right? It feeds them big time. And then the yeasts produce this acetaldehyde, which is also a breakdown product of alcohol, which affects the brain, and it puts a strain on the liver. So when you're working with somebody, especially at the beginning, you don't have their genetics. You don't know if they can handle this. And there's particular SNPs that say, no, I don't handle this real well. Right? So yeah, a little wine can be very helpful for someone who's already healthy. And they just have a little bit of wine, no big deal. But most of the people that come to see you, this got to go. Same thing with caffeine. I know Mike mentioned yesterday that caffeine can help burn fat. You know, you have a little caffeine before you exercise in the morning. But again, at what expense? Now, for a perfectly healthy, robust person, a little bit of caffeine here and there is not going to hurt, but your people are compromised. And caffeine and alcohol both will thin that mucous membrane. Right? So it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, it has some benefits, but how else can you get some of those benefits? Now, if you're going to do caffeine, have them go to green tea, because green tea has less caffeine, but it also has a plethora of antioxidants that coffee doesn't have. Coffee has a lot of tannins, and it's very acid-forming. The green tea is very alkalizing and is loaded with antioxidants. So if you want them, they're really trying to burn fat, and you want to see if this whole concept of having a little caffeine before they exercise works, have them have some green tea, right? The green coffee bean extract, haven't done enough research to know about. I did take a supplement once that had green coffee bean extract in it, and it had B vitamins and taurine and CoQ10, and I took it after I had been up for 36 hours, and I was teaching an online program, and about 5 in the afternoon after I was up since, you know, whatever, the day before trying to prepare for this, I could feel myself fading. I could feel the words coming out. Beverly was on that call. She's laughing. And so I said, guys, we're going to have a break. So I went and I said, how do I wake myself up? I don't drink coffee. I don't drink cola. So there was this sample supplement. Where's David? David had given it to me, David Gawain. And I had resisted ever taking it. Like, I'm not going to take this stuff. It's like, okay, I'm taking this. And I did that, but I had it with a reishi green powder, you know, smoothie thing that I just made up this whole thing, and I had that with it. And I came, you on that call too, Maura? Came back from that call, and I'm like, okay, we're on. And I thought I was going to fade and fall asleep. I was on like 3 hours more. We stayed on. Oh, you have more questions? Yeah, no problem. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That pathway goes like this. And I was like on it, but I wasn't hyper. I was clear as day. And then at 9:30, I said, it's time for bed, and I fell asleep. So I felt like, oh, that wasn't a real, like, caffeine, blah, 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 and then, you know, let down and need it again. So there might be ways that you can take it in supplements like that. It had CoQ10 and B vitamins and taurine and all this other. And it was green, organic, green coffee bean extract. It wasn't just Starbucks coffee. Right? So a lot of times people will want to keep their vices. And a lot of times there's practitioners who are writing about this that want to keep their vices. And so they write about it. Right? And yes, if they're going to do coffee, they should be doing the Bulletproof or the one that Longevity Warehouse sells, where they guarantee that they don't have all those mycotoxins in them, because that's a big part of it. But let's just call it a spade. I go to health conferences, and some of the folks are addicted to coffee, and they think it's okay to drink like 4 cups of Bulletproof coffee in the morning because it has the coconut oil and the MCT oil all blended in it. And if you haven't heard of that, just look up Bulletproof coffee. I'm not knocking it. I think it's a big improvement over people drinking the Starbucks every morning. But do I think it's a component of optimal health? Not really. What do you think, David? Do you agree? Yeah. I mean, it's like let's just nourish ourselves from real, but know that each person's in a place where they need some crutches. So when you're giving them crutches, give them the best crutches you can, right? Yeah. Give them some Pycnogenol instead of the red wine. That's good question. So I had that question, and I posed that question to Dr. Thomas Lodi, who's big into, you know, cancer recovery with green juices. Oh, the question was, does it hold for coffee enemas as well? So, and I said to him, but a coffee enema? You do coffee enemas as part of this, like, you know, juice cleansing regime for cancer? He said, yeah, because what happens is it goes right to the liver. It has a real good effect on the vagus nerve because it will stimulate the motility of the gut. So it will cause that and helps to improve that. But it goes right there and it stimulates phase 1 and it just like dumps bile. And so a lot of the liver sludge gets moved out and toxins get moved out. Could you become addicted? I mean, you know, if you don't have good pathways and you can reabsorb it and have it in the bloodstream, but really because there's a direct connection between, there's a hepatal portal circulation and it goes directly from the, not hepatic portal, enterohepatic circulation, goes from the gut to the liver. It doesn't go into general circulation and not much of it does. So I've seen some really good results with that. But you have to be careful if people have those phase 2 things. Can we hold questions to the end? Is that okay? Okay. Okay, go for it. Yeah, but there's better choice. The question was, if you're going to do a coffee enema, should you choose a Bulletproof? If you want to choose a high-quality coffee, the one that the cancer docs that are using this for coffee enemas use is it's a Canadian guy that he does this stuff called Blonde Coffee. And it's Wilson's, T.A. Wilson's? F.A. Wilson's. S.A. Wilson's. Yeah, and that's supposed to be the real pure stuff that's for the coffee enemas. Good question. Okay, so we want to, and you know, obviously sugar, the processed fats, refined carbohydrates, and then identifying the allergens. The whole thing came up yesterday about allergy testing. I'm not, like, I don't trust them very well. And I'd rather at the beginning just put them on an elimination diet. I ask them questions like, what foods do you crave? What are the foods that you can't live without? What are the foods that if you start eating, you're continuing to eat until bedtime, and then the next morning you wake up wanting more? What are those foods? And if they're in addition to those top, oftentimes they're some of those top 6, gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, peanuts, and of course sugar has to go too. And I'll just say, okay, we're going to put those on the list. And oftentimes when I'm doing an elimination diet, I do what I call the rare foods diet. What foods do you hardly ever eat? Like, if you eat this twice a year and you have symptoms every day, it's unlikely that that's the food that's contributing to it. So I put them on a rare foods diet for like 5 to 10 days, 3 weeks if they're really willing, and then reintroduce things. It's harder, but it's more accurate, okay? So those are the things, you know, the processed meats, preservatives, all that kind of stuff we talked about. So some people are sensitive to nightshades. It's a small percentage of the population. And to restrict it from everyone, so you ask questions like, do you have joint pains? Do you feel, you know, worse when it's summertime and you grow tomatoes in your garden? How do you feel with Italian food? Is it not just the gluten? Maybe it's tomatoes too. It's a small percentage of the population, but can't be overlooked. So usually I just ask them those questions, and then if we're not getting the results we think we should, I'll say, okay, let's just stop the tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, potatoes. So those are the ones. Those are the nightshades. Goji, isn't goji in the nightshade family? It's got much less of the chemicals, you know, the solanine and all, but it's still part of that family. Okay. So let's go, that's remove. The replace is the next one, and that's to replace all those nutrients that were missing, and that's where we're gonna talk a lot about today with those good, amazing foods. So when you're supporting, and I'm gonna say this ad infinitum, and I'm just gonna go through this quickly because we've been through this, but these are so important, and don't overlook these things. Breathe and relax. I wanna see this in the dining room today. Keep each other, have a buddy partner that's gonna keep you honest and say, did you do your breathing yet before you eat that food? It only takes 30 seconds. You breathe it, you look at it, and you go, wow, it's gorgeous. That's all it takes. That food is going to become you, right? Or it's going to rot in your intestine and cause you problems, right? Don't you want that food to become you? Except if it's a McDonald's cheeseburger, maybe not. Calm, relaxed state, focus. Drinking warm water a half an hour before a meal can like warm up the system, and it can also help people who have problems with appetite to not eat as much. Living foods as much as possible. Some people are in a state where the digestive tract is impaired, and so they can't because they've got irritable bowel, they've got inflamed colon, they've got SIBO overgrowth, whatever. And you got to work with people where they're at. I eat most of my food is raw. I eat about 90% of my diet is raw. In the summer, it's more like 100%. And I love that stuff, and I've seen great results, but I've seen people crash and burn, and I'm like, you can't keep eating these salads. It's eaten a whole. We need a break from this. So we need to gently cook it. We need to blend it. There's times when it's really great to put people on gently cooked warm soups for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it takes, so that the gut lining heals while you're nourishing it. Or juicing, but I've even had some folks who couldn't tolerate the juices in a raw state either. And there's a lot of other intolerances going on, which we're going to spend about 2 weeks going over in the program. Like 2 weeks, I mean, by 2 weeks, I mean like that many hours. There's so much to go over with that. But it's really a matter of like tuning in, having them do food diaries, and taking out the foods that are causing a problem, even if you think it's a great food. And allowing them to add in foods that you, like, I don't eat meat. I'm not a big fan of meat. I don't like the ethics behind it. I don't like the environment behind it. I don't like it from a health perspective. But there are folks who I just have them have a little fish or grass-fed meat. And that's not in my realm of, I wish I didn't have to tell them that, but there's times when I do. Now, if somebody's a staunch vegan, I tell them, okay, we can work with you. We can do this. You can do it. You just have to know the way the food affects them. But you can't have people eating an all raw diet with all that roughage when their colon's ripped up. It's going to stay ripped up. For me, it was fasting. I fasted for 28 days. I gave my colon a rest. And then I started eating all raw and I was fine. Does that make sense? So don't allow your food dogma or religion. You can have your own food religion or dogma that you do for you, but don't allow that to impact that other person. You know, gluten, dairy, probiotics, we talked about. Now, the probiotics, foods is the best way because then we're not guessing. Like the cabbage, like Steph said yesterday, has all these bugs on it that we don't even know what the names are. We don't even know anything about those things, right? But We need them. So if we just rely on company X to make our probiotic and decide that we need these 12 and we don't have those other 1,000, but when you make your own fermented foods or you buy them, it's so amazing right now. Right? You go into Whole Foods and there's 12 different varieties of delicious fermented foods. They came that way. But don't take the cabbage in and scrub it down and stick it in an antimicrobial wash, right? Yeah. We want those things, and we want to naturally ferment them in a way that's safe and effective and really delicious. We've been having that yogurt in the morning, the cashew yogurt, but we're adding a primer to it, but it's also sitting, and it's creating a natural fermentation. Not the same. Cashews don't have the same variety of bugs as cabbage does, and the vegetables do. So vary the probiotic foods. Find the ones that they will do, and then vary it, even if it's just a tablespoon of probiotic in something else. I made, who was at the potluck the other day and had the kale amoli, kale sauerkraut amoli that we made, right? We made a guacamole, and then I put a whole bag of the probiotic, the sauerkraut from Whole Foods. It was caraway dill or one, dumped the whole bag. It was like 3 or 4 avocados and a whole bag of sauerkraut. And then we had all these kale stems that were left over from something. And I'm like, you can't throw those kale stems away. What are you doing? No, give me those. And we put them in the food processor and chopped them up to confetti size and then put that in the guacamole. People raved about that guacamole. They're getting their probiotic foods. They're getting the kale and the sulforaphane and the structural chemicals, the structural minerals are going to be more in the stem than they are in the leaf. Right? So you get your calcium and magnesium and things. So there's all kinds of ways, and you can do that with your kiddos, right? You work with kids, you just, you chop up the kale stems, you chop up sauerkraut, get a real plain one, and you mix it in with the spaghetti sauce, right? There's all kinds of ways. You put it on their pizza. I used to make pizza for my son, and I would make this really cool buckwheat crust, and then I'd put a little sauce on it, and then I'd load it up with chopped up green leafy vegetables of all sorts, and then I'd put the cheese on top of that, and then I'd put more sauce, and he didn't know he was eating a ton of vegetables. It was good until his brother told him, and then trick was over. That the brother is like, oh, look, Mom, I'm making kale for dinner. Oh, look, Mom, I'm making broccoli for dinner. The other one's like, broccoli, kale? It's amazing how they grow up in the same household and they're different. But you have to sneak it in, right? You have to do it. Okay, so we've talked about all these things, the whole foods. Let's get into the more specifics. Okay, so how do we heal the gut-brain axis? We start with the pre-meal ritual. It always has to start here. Somebody comes on to one of my coaching calls and I'm working through their digestion, we're almost at the end of our healing leaky gut program right now. And they'll get on and they'll say, I'm doing the bitters and I'm doing this herb and that and I still have this whatever. I still feel kind of full and bloated after I eat and what can I do? And I'll just go back and go, tell me about your pre-meal ritual. Are you breathing? Well, I don't have time for that. Right? How well are you chewing your food? Well, it's really hard to chew my food. I just chewed it. You can't fix it unless you fix it, right? That's the thing. And I know I emphasize it a lot, but it's so important and it's so critical. And I'm the first one to forget it. And I have to catch myself after a few bites and go, oh, you forgot. Put my fork down. And I know when you're in with a group like this and you're all excited and you're meeting new people, you're not going to do it as well, but really make a point of doing it at home. So we're going to start with the top. We're going to work our way down. Is that okay? We're going to start with the stomach because it's so critical that the stomach work to start the whole process. So there's bitter foods and bitter herbs that are totally amazing for helping your body to digest the food. And we think about bitters. Those of you who've heard of bitters, taking bitters with meal, raise your hand. Those of you who haven't, anybody haven't? So bitter foods stimulate the digestion. And there's bitter herbs that you can take as a supplement. But it does so much more. It does more than just stimulate stomach acid. And on this sheet, you've got a list of all the things it does. It stimulates HCL, pepsin, that's in the stomach, mucus, night thickening of the mucus, bile from the gallbladder, digesting fat, pancreatic enzymes, hormones, all those gut hormones. It can enhance the immunity, decongest the portal veins so people are having the varicosities. It could be coming from up here. Enhance immunity, calm the nervous system. I had that twice, so it must be important. Calm the nervous system. Stimulate the parasympathetic, the vagus nerve, right? And lower blood glucose. All this from starting the meal with bitters. And I usually recommend that people, about while you're making the food, you munch on dandelion greens, right? Or you munch on arugula. You munch on those things, but you don't just swallow. You chew and you chew and you chew. 42 bites gnats, probably like 242 bites. Because you're just doing it while you're getting ready, and you want to create this like liquid in your mouth that just gets to stimulate the receptors under the tongue. And you do it while you're doing the rest of the food prep, right? It's not that hard. Or you can make a little juice, and you can just gargle with the juice. There you go. Wow, I just thought of that. Gargle with the green bitter juice, right? Hold that in your mouth, and then you stimulate the vagus nerve. You're going to digest like crazy with that. Awesome. So that's how you would use it, or you can get a bitters tincture. I had mine, somebody, I found it last night in my bag. If you can find it in my bag, I can show you one of the ones I like. But some common bitters, doesn't mean you have to tell them, okay, here's some bitters, go take these. They'll find formulas that may have a combination of these, or you can add them too. Some are foods, some are not. So if you're going to do the foods, certainly dandelion, arugula, there's some really crinkly, bitter green, light green thing in the mix. Right? You chew that. Like the salad mixes, you chew on that. The ones that normally you don't like, people say, can I add some stevia? Can I add some honey to the bitters? Like, will it still be bitter then? Well, no. That's why I want to add the stevia. Well, then it's not going to work. You can add it. It'll taste good, but it's not going to work. It's the bitter. It's that bitter, bitter. We have to get people reaccustomed to eating bitter food. And some people have that enhanced bitter tasting gene. No, I don't think he has that. He has a sweet one. My husband refused to admit that he has the sweet gene. And we'll make food at the pot. Like, he goes, I don't like sweets, but I'm tasting this bitter chocolate we've just made. And Lynn and I are going, wow, this is good. Or somebody else is going, wow, this is good. He goes, it's too bitter. It doesn't have enough sugar. It doesn't have a sweet in it. So this is it. And we can pass this around. Oh, it's gotten all messed up. But this is a bitters compound. And you can kind of see what the ingredients are. From herbalist and alchemist. And like I said, I'm partial. Whoops, I'm sorry. It bounces. I'm partial to that because David Winston was one of my mentors, and I worked with him for 2 years in his herbal medicine program, and he put this thing together. Had to go the other way. So licorice, hops. Licorice is also really good for soothing the membrane. You just a caution with licorice, make sure that if you use licorice as licorice, just says licorice, you got to be careful of people with hypertension, high blood pressure, or a tendency to it, and also people with lower blood pressure that overdo it because it tastes good, like I did once. My blood pressure is typically 100 over 70. I got this licorice tincture, and somebody had said, oh, I took 3 drops of that, and I was overstimulated. I'm like, really? Is it that strong? I ordered this particular brand from Biomatrix, and I start taking it. I'm like, wow, that tastes good. So I took a dropper full. I don't feel stimulated. Took another dropper full. I don't feel stimulated. Kept it on my desk, and every time, you know, you get bored and you just want to taste something, I just take a couple of dropperfuls of the licorice tincture. I think I got up to 3 dropperfuls 3 times a day, and I'm sitting at my desk with my legs crossed. I'd just gone running, so I took my socks. I'm looking down. I'm like, I have pitting edema in my ankles. Pitting edema is when, those of you who are medically trained, you know what pitting edema is. It's like you got swelling in your ankles, and you push in, and they're like, it doesn't come back. And you're like, okay, so what's going on here? Take my blood pressure, it's 140 over 92. And this was over the course of like 3 or 4 weeks of overdoing on licorice. So I'm really cautious. It's a great herb. It's wonderful for the adrenals. You just never have somebody take 3 dropperfuls 3 times a day. You just don't, okay? No matter how much they like it, a few drops. And if they have a tendency towards migraines, it can set off migraines. So, yeah, you be careful with it. What we use for healing the digestion is DGL, and we'll talk about that when we get to the demulcents. It's deglycerizinated licorice. The glycyrrhizic acid is what gives the blood pressure issues. Hops, that's what's in beer. So it doesn't mean that you have a glass of beer before that. People will say that, oh, hops, really? You mean I can have a beer before I eat, and that's going to help my digestion? Milk thistle supports the liver as well. Gentian, really, it's not something you generally see, but you will see it in the formula. Orange peel you'll see in the formula, but you can also use your little orange zester thing, and you can use that. You can mix that with another herb, and, you know, but you want to keep it in your mouth. Dandelion. Golden seal is not one I recommend very much. It's endangered, basically. So unless it's cultivated, but it really, it's an antimicrobial. So unless you need the antimicrobial in the throat, in the esophagus, in the stomach, or in the digestive tract, then I wouldn't really, you know, do golden seal. I save golden seal for when I really need it. Oregon grape. Oregon grape has berberine. Who talked about berberine the other day? Who remembers what berberine was good for? Blood sugar. What else? Cough, lungs, yeah, what else? Dysbiosis? Yeah, a lot of things, right? But one thing that really struck me was enhancing the gut hormone production, right? So it's an amazing, amazing herb. So Oregon grape is a good source of that. A golden seal is very expensive. Oregon grape is not endangered, grows more wildly, and you can get it much more freely. Chicory, that, you know, and you can just munch on it. When I was little, one of the few greens we ever had was chicory. It was in chicory soup, chicory and oxtail soup. Okay. An Italian family. So demulcents. Demulcents are the soothers. Right, so you have somebody who has leaky gut, they have irritation, they have reflux. Reflux is irritation of the esophagus. My son came to me one day, his friends used to always come to him with their health problems, and he goes, "Mom, I have a new case." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" "Well, one of my friends has some problems going on, and I think he has eosinophilic esophagitis." He was like 14 or 15, and I'm like, "Excuse me? Where'd you hear?" Well, I looked it up. I looked up his symptoms. I went to, you know, and I figured out, I think he has eosinophilic esophagitis. I asked if he's drinking alcohol. He is. Do you think he should tell his parents that he's vomiting blood? I'm like, "Yeah, I think he should." Well, he's vomiting blood and all this other stuff. So my son figures out, he thinks he's, and is he drinking alcohol? Yes, he is. So I'm like, "Okay, yeah, you need to tell his friend. Should I tell him to stop drinking?" "Yeah, I should. You should tell him to stop drinking." You want to soothe that irritated esophagus. I could have told him you can also get him on demulcents, right? Get him off the alcohol, you know, get him to calm down and get him on some demulcents. So they soothe the digestive tract. They actually help to rebuild the mucus, plump it up again. They're anti-inflammatory. They lubricate the entire digestive tract, which is super important, and nourish. So they're lubricating herbs. And I listed some herbs, but you can also add to that list chia and flax. They're foods, they're seeds, but they're very demulcent. Licorice, but DGL, right down next to it, DGL, because the amounts that you need to heal the digestive tract may be higher then is good for their blood pressure. So I use DGL. I like it in a powdered form or a lozenge form because then they can suck on it, can soothe the throat, because the throat with reflux can get really messed up. It can get really irritated and agitated. Suck on the DGL or make them into some little lozenge candies. We made some, I did this for a friend once, and I mixed the DGL licorice with coconut, because it hardens, and licorice is sweet to begin with, so I mixed that together, and we put it in little trays, those little silicone molds. We made little candies that she could suck on, and so it would soothe. Or you can get them commercially, DGL lozenges. You can get powder. I love it mixed with slippery elm as a powder, and they would have that like a half an hour before their meal. Then if they get any irritation after, they can take it every 15 minutes or so until the irritation comes down. It's a wonderful demulcent. It's good for the stomach. That's where it's been most studied, but it's also good for the whole tract. I figure if it's good for the stomach, it's good for the rest, because the stomach gets really, it's got the acid in it, and it's supposed to have that nice thick lining. So comfrey, Irish moss, cinnamon, you know, and some of these things you can just have them add. One of the things I like to make is a drink with slippery elm, which gets slimy and thick, and it doesn't have much of a taste. Okay, much of a taste, and then you put the cinnamon in it, makes it taste really good. So you can make a nice tea that's going to soothe and demulce and heal. So it looks like we're out of time for this session, and we're going to do a demo, right? Is that right? Is that what I got the sign for? 5 more minutes? Oh, we have 5 more minutes. Okay, good. Thank you. I didn't see that. I only saw, like, I don't know. It's hard with these lights. So carminatives. Carminatives are those herbs that are, they dispel gas. They just help to, like, the indigestion, the bloating at all. Carminatives can help with that. And the reason I'm teaching this by classes of herbs rather than individual herbs is because then you get the idea of, like, oh, if somebody has gas and bloating, I need a carminative. Let me look up the carminatives. You don't have to memorize them all. After a while, you get familiar with them, you will, but you can look up, oh, they're having gas and bloating. Let me see if I can put some carminatives. Maybe you're going to make, like, a little tea blend that you want to have them take, or some kind of food blend, and you know, well, I think they need demulcins, I think they need carminatives, so you make a combination. Some of them cross over functionally. And so you make a formula that way. And David's probably going, oh, I studied Chinese medicine. There's so much more to it than that. And yes, there is. If you want to go to Chinese medicine school and study herbs for 4 years, you know, there's more to it, and you can get more specific, and you can go with their constitution and their temperature and all that. But, you know, you're here. You want to know what you can do now with it, right? So sorry, David, if I'm... But they will reduce gas and bloating, enhance the digestive secretions, tone, you know, because sometimes it's flaccid and things aren't moving through properly. Sometimes it's tight and things aren't moving through properly. So we want to have that nice digestive tone where there's peristalsis. It reduces the smooth muscle spasms, right? Irritable bowel. What's irritable bowel? It's the spasming of the digestive tract instead of that nice contraction, contract, relax. And increases peristalsis, which move things through. So there's some great ones here, and these are really good to just have them do soups. Have them do it in a salad dressing. They're nice, very fragrant, very aromatic, very delicious herbs. Dill, fennel, ginger, caraway, cinnamon, turmeric. Turmeric has so many other properties, right? We talked about those the other day. I love it. You can't add a lot of turmeric because it's strong, but I add it wherever I can. A little bit of turmeric wherever I can. Cardamom, clove, chamomile, oregano, rosemary, thyme. And if you give them this kind of list and you say include two or three or four of these are common herbs that they're probably going to have in their spice rack, right? That's the cool part about it. Fennel is the most studied, the most well-known. Chew on fennel seeds. If you ever go to an Indian restaurant, you'll see that little bowl of fennel seeds at the door. Chew on those when you're leaving. Make a fennel tea. So many things you can do to help them with that. And especially for symptomatic type stuff where they go, oh, I just did this and I'm gas and bloaty. I guess I have to wait 3 or 4 hours till it passes through. Have a cup of fennel tea, right? Have some ginger turmeric in water and drink that as a juice. They're anti-inflammatory as well as carminative. Make sense? Okay, we ready for our demo? Or do I have a few more minutes? Yeah? Okay, so we're going to take a couple of questions, and then we'll finish the rest of this afternoon. There's a whole lot more. Yeah. What's that?
I always have questions.
It's good.
So just real easy, quick. When I got the bitters before each meal, like a half hour, but I didn't really understand when you do the demulcents.
So I would do the bitters 15 minutes before the meal. I would do the demulcent maybe a half an hour before.
Okay.
Yeah, great. And you can do the demulcents really any time. Okay. It's like you can do it a half hour before. If you find that it doesn't work as well as doing it right before or during or right after, and it's just would be experimenting with the timing. Yeah, Eleanor.
Hi. I was with a client with a doctor, and we suspected the patient had low HCL. And the doctor recommended she do either lemon juice, grapefruit juice, or apple cider vinegar before she ate. Mm-hmm. I mean, are those bitters? Why is
they're not bitters, but they do tend to stimulate the digestive. ACL, apple cider vinegar, can often be used. They're not going to be as potent as actually doing the bitters, but you can mix them with, like, make an apple cider vinegar, like, dressing and pour it over a piece of dandelion and have that. But sometimes people just put a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar in and drink it and find that really does help. I don't know about grapefruit juice. Lemon juice, lemon juice somewhat. Grapefruit juice has too much sugar in it, and I wouldn't do grapefruit juice. Yeah.
Oh, besides the bitters and the carmine, to activate the vagus nerve, you also mentioned to do that 30 minutes before each meal or during the day or... How right. would you incorporate that?
So the thank you for reminding me of that. So the activation of the vagus nerve can be incorporated here as well. So I would do it right before the meal, is to just, you know, 15 minutes before maybe. You don't want to do it, you don't want to gag yourself like and then sit down and eat. It might not be pleasant, but you can do it 15 minutes before. You can make this the part of the pre-meal ritual, right? Yeah, and pick one of the things, right? You don't want to do a coffee enema necessarily right before a meal, right? But but get them singing their grace and gratitude. Here we have a question over here. Pass. Hang on. Yeah, so the question is fresh versus dried herbs. It's always best to do fresh, right? Fresh is always best, but we can't always get fresh. And we can't get fresh, we do dried. Yeah, good question.
Wow, that was my question. So somebody.
Well, there you go. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you had the mic. Sorry.
You say something about washing your vegetables and fruits. Should we wash our organic fruits and vegetables if we want to have the nice probiotics? That
I
are
rinse
on them? What do you
them
do?
Because you want to get the debris off. You don't want to eat the dirt and the fingerprints of whoever put it out there and all that. I do that, but I don't do the food grade hydrogen peroxide or any of the veggie washes, because I think those run the risk. You can tell me, Steph, if you think that doing that would eliminate a lot of the bacteria if you use the food grade hydrogen peroxide. Yeah. So if you do, I would just not do that. I just rinse them. Just do due diligence and rinse. Right. Good. We're ready. All right. Let's bring them on up. We have a special guest speaker who is not listed on our menu, and he is going to share with us how to make an elixir. So we're talking about all these wonderful foods and herbs, and we'll talk more about those this afternoon, but we're going to have him do a demo for us. Let me move this out of the way. And he's going to show us how to make an elixir. I can hold it for him. Yeah. And we want to introduce you to Jasper Jackson. Jasper's had a good teacher, and I'm going to hold the mic. I'm going to stay close to Jasper and hold the mic for him. And, oh, he doesn't even need a blender. This is so cool. So he's going to make us an elixir, and know that any of the herbs he uses, you can use whatever herbs you choose.
So today I'm going to talk about stress. First of all, why stress is bad? It's bad for your thyroids, it can make you fat, it's bad for your brain, and it could give you diarrhea. So
are we going to make an elixir that's going to help with stress?
First, I'm going to talk about what can help stress.
Okay, great.
Reishi mushroom could calm you down with stress in a loving way, like the same thing with lemon balm and stinging nettle and sage and lavender. The lavender will help you in a more like respecting way, a bit more like in that way. So then it will be, and we're going to end. We're going to make a reishi mushroom elixir today.
Awesome.
My name is Jasper Jackson. We're going to make a reishi elixir.
There's your reishi.
First of all, we add reishi powder. I'd use like one or two spoons, and then I'm going to add
what you need.
I think the lion's mane.
Lion's mane, yeah. So this is an herb called lion's mane.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about Lion's Mane? Because I think
the
some
Lion's
folks
Mane
don't know about it.
Would it's really good for your brain, and it's good for the for your thyroid.
That's good. We all need that, don't we?
One scoop of, not two scoops of Lion's Mane.
Okay. They're like a, you know, it's all variable. It's a little, it's a teaspoon kind of thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going
okay, what
to
else do you need? This is Makuna.
Makuna?
Yeah, tell them about Makuna.
Good.
It's a good one.
It has L-DOPA, and then your body makes it into dopamine.
Makuna. Like Hakuna Matata? Makuna. M-A-C-U-N-A.
And then I'm going to add... Rocky.
It's a little rocky, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's something. Yeah, move the rocks out of the way. Ah, there you go.
I'm going to add to spend the light.
Awesome. Okay, what next?
Coconut. Stevia. Why are we using stevia? Coconut is good for your brain, but then why are we using stevia? Is because, and the sugar would not help you with stress. It would like make you. It's bad for stress. It feeds the stress, and sugar feeds bacteria, and it would like get really. You'll get like freaked out.
Yeah.
Type of way. Like you would use probably 2 drops of stevia.
No, not much, eh?
No, because it's actually quite strong.
Good. That's good to know. We don't need to have a. I think I put too much in mine.
There's going to be the coconut powder. And then
this is coconut powder. This is actually coconut milk powder we get from. We get it Z Natural Foods. You can probably just take regular the coconut flakes and put them in the blender and get them down real small, but it blends real well with water. And it tastes good.
Yeah, we would add hot water to it. And then you would want the bits to, like, but the bits will melt, so you don't have to worry about that. You just have to mix it in after the bits melt. So, wait a minute. And then you mix it after it melts. You have to mix it. Then there's the elixir.
Wow. Awesome. Can you tell them about this, if you can use that?
You could use one of these. There's also green ones that you could also get. Yeah. But then you have to put it all the way to the bottom before you do it, because before you start mixing it, because if you do it on the top, it'll just splatter all over the place. What's happening?
not working that well?
No.
Oh, there it goes. Hold it for you. Does that help to break the bits up a little bit?
Yeah.
Ah. Awesome. Yeah. Excellent.
I think it may just be out of batteries.
Oh, maybe that's it. Good. Still a few bits,
quite
huh?
Hot.
It's quite hot.
Yeah. But then that will help the...
It'll help the bits.
It'll help the bits melt. It'll help the bits melt. So that it, the heat will help the bits melt. So you don't have to worry about mixing it about the bits because they won't melt. And then... You would always add hot water to it. So I'd also add lavender and lemon balm and some stinging nettle and sage.
Great. Mm-hmm. And you just add it the same way, just a little bit of it? Yeah. Wow.
Very cool. It's really easy. So if I can do it, you could do it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, should we put the lid on? So, or do you want to taste it? Or do you want to pour it so people can taste? Is it yummy? It's good?
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
It's really good. Awesome, right? Thank you so much, Jasper. Woohoo!
I know. If only all of our kids were so aware.
Right.
It is wonderful. Thank you, Jasper. So what you can do with, you can make an elixir with all of these different herbs, extracts, whatever your symptoms are, you can use something and just make something like this and drink it, you know. I've done it with my daughter, and it's helped tremendously when nothing else could.
Right.
And one of the things that we did, like you can take an elixir like this, and she couldn't. Okay, she's 27, and she could not do this every day. So I ended up making an elixir that she needed into a muffin. So you can take a basic elixir, a liquid, and just not add as much water, and add some ground flax to it, and press it into a muffin pan, and make your muffins, and just make sure you're drinking like a tea. So her elixir was with a nettle tea base, and instead of starting with that much liquid, we just made all the dry ingredients, and enough water to get it damp, and the flax, you know, soaks up the water and then makes cake.
Right. Well, you guys have eaten it already. The breakfast muffins,
right.
The brownies the,
muffins
the other
and the
day.
Brownies. The hotel's doing such a good job with the recipes. I mean, it's something totally different than what they're used to. And can I say something about the yogurt?
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
Okay. Everything's been great. The muffins had a little too much liquid
Sweet.
In it and a little too much stevia. But the yogurt, but I mean, I'm praising them. I'm not criticizing, okay? But the yogurt, if you can make this so easily, you just take cashews and water, mix it smooth in a Vitamix. Sometimes doing it for a lot of people, they don't use the Vitamix and put it in the, I don't know how they did it, but maybe a bucket with a hand blender. But you can get it really smooth, and then you just put your probiotics in there and put it in a warm place for at least 24 hours, and you'll get the tartness of what your store-bought yogurt. It's really easy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I wanted you guys to really taste, you know. But anyway, what else was I going to show? Oh, the brownies. The brownies, you can do something like this. Put the elixir herbs in with the protein powder and some ground flax. And
So that's what those brownies were,
the brownies,
right?
It was
the protein powder, the summery protein powder with,
And
which you just won. Guess what you guys are going to be making.
The flax was ground into a flour and then mixed with the coconut in the, they're asking about the lemon bars last night and the dessert we had for dinner. And she says they couldn't taste the flaxseed. So they're ground into a flour and then mixed with the coconut for the base.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
chia.
Yeah. So the question was, can you use other substitutes besides flax? And Karen said, yeah, chia. And then Alicia had a...
Any nuts.
Any nuts. Combination of a nut with coconut is awesome. If you have the time and the desire to scoop out the flesh of the fresh coconut.
You can buy the frozen coconut.
That's right, you can.
And just thaw it out. So plain coconut yogurt is good too. You just take the coconut meat.
Just throw it in the blender. Yeah,
with some water. And then, so you blend everything smooth and then you add the probiotic and then blend it a little bit.
And then it's like Steph talked about the other day, you can make custom yogurt. Right? Each person in your family can have custom yogurt if they need a particular organism that you can fortify into that process. So it's just really cool. Yep. Coconut, the coconut yogurt is the coconut flesh, and then you put it in the blender. If you need water, sometimes you don't. If you do, use the water from the coconut, and then you add the probiotic. You know it's the right consistency, right? You look at it and you go, it's nice. You know, it's too liquidy, then, Yeah, good question. Last question, okay. There's a company called, the question was, where do you get the pure probiotic powders? There's a company called Custom Probiotics, and they'll sell individuals of lots of different ones. They also have some blends, like a D-lactic acid blend or a bifidus blend. A Custom Probiotics, just Google them. Yeah. Thank you all. So these are things that you can teach your clients to do. You could start doing yourself first, right? Get really used to it. And just think outside the box when it comes to food. How do you combine these therapeutic herbs and foods that we're talking about with the foods, maybe with the foods that they're already comfortable with? But who would have thought when she showed me this thing with the muffins out of the elixir? She was like, I took your elixir and I made them into muffins, right? And so we have all these therapeutic elixir recipes for thyroid, for adrenal, and when you know the herbs, you just start throwing them together. Should we tell them we do have the elixir station out there?
Yes, and Karen also has a dessert recipe ebook.
Oh, that's right.
And the lemon bars
are in it, and all the things you had.
Quantities.
Yeah. So
the
see
brownies
her,
are in it, so
and she'll give you the link to get
access Karen and, to it.
See Karen,
and or you can even, we can post that link.
Well, they can do it while they're here if she has her.
We can write it on the board. Karen, why don't you write it on the board for them?
Write them
on the
board.
The markers are right behind the board.
Okay. And then, so we have an elixir station set up over there. We have a whole bunch of these different herbs. If you have particular favorites, if there's some that you want to experiment with, if you want to look through ahead in your book and see what ones might be fun, or just play, I recommend when you're doing it, you put some of the coconut milk powder in there for flavor, unless you're allergic to coconut, and then leave it out. And then you mix a little bit. Start small. He's obviously does this a lot, so he has a pretty potent elixir, and he likes it, which is great. But you may find that you're just going to start with smaller quantities to get used to the flavor. My favorite personally is cordyceps, and it has a cocoa kind of taste. So I just go plop and put a lot of cordyceps in there, and it gives you stamina. But they're all over there, so just play on the break. We have the hot water dispenser, obviously, and there's stirrers, and just, you know, don't make as big a mess as I usually do.
Start
He's
small,
so neat.
One
I want
to
take him
to
my kitchen.
See what you tolerate.
What you tolerate.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't want anyone.
Right. You know, when it costs.
Running out in the middle of the session.
Yeah.
Does it have to be
no,
warm?
No, it doesn't have to be warm. If it's not warm, do it in the blender. Or you just have to really. Oh, he has a. Oh, you want your elixir? Oh, he's going to drink it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be. It works better in here if it's warm, but I do it in hotel rooms. So I don't have warm water. I just put it in and I use that little shaker thing and I get it all blended up and it's just fine.
Right. And yeah. The muffins, you can make those ahead of time and then you've got
right.
them ready
to Right. And what Karen
pack.
Did, what she came up with for, and if you work with people one-on-one in a person and you don't think they're going to do it, you can actually make them a blend, charge them for the blend, make them their own custom blend in a bag so you have, give them 2 weeks worth of elixir mixture. So there's a lot of options here for you to do.
Okay. Eleanor, okay. Quick question. The name
oh,
of the bitters.
It's Herbalist and Alchemist.
Herbalist and Alchemist. David
Bitters.
Winston.
Bitters Compound. It's just called Bitters Compound.
And it's David Winston.
David Winston.
Is
yeah,
the formulator.
Yep.
Herbalist and Alchemist. Okay, you have until 11 o'clock will be the next session. Do be in your seats. We're going to be raffling. We have two more raffles and then the grand prize
right.
raffle.
Should we raffle his...
Yes.
His things.
And we will be raffling a consultation with Artemis.
Brain brownies. There you go, brain brownies. Brain brownies. You know, if you...